Bloomberg Surveillance with Ken Pruitt and Tom Keene. Listen on demand via our Bloomberg Radio Plus app. Now available free for both iPhone and Android devices.
I love this quote. Michael Eckstein with us from Credit Suisse. I think they, the naysayers, said it was a vanity project. You know, I was a socialite starting a company. They never thought it would last beyond a few seasons. It was fine. I never knew where it would be either, and I never imagined we would be where we were. Tory Burch, leading off Michael Eckstein's research note. Michael, good morning.
Good morning.
That's the magic of this thing, is somebody, Lisa Perry or Tory Burch, dives in, and all of a sudden people go, we love it.
You know, she invented a category in shoes, these ballet flats, and that started the portion of her business, and she's leveraged that across ready-to-wear and handbags and so forth.
Who's the next Tory Burch?
Oh, I'm not. If you saw the way I was dressed today, I would be the last fashion arbiter out there.
How long do people who jump in like Tory Burch, how long can they live on their initial creation, these ballet flats in her case? And how soon do you have to come up with something new? How quickly do tastes change?
Oh, they change very, very rapidly, but in a lot, and she's dealing with classics, updated classics, so there's a lot less risk to it. And it sort of feeds on itself. She gets more coverage. Somebody like Nordstrom finds her, builds her up, and then other people join on. She's, she appears to have a lot of legs right now.
Hey, Tom, I got to just interrupt you for a second here. Ford is out with its light vehicle sales numbers up 6.4%. They were only estimated to be up 2.4%. So
yeah.
They're not going to change their fourth quarter production numbers. That's good for the economy.
Dow 52, first print in the VIX, 15.78. Michael Eckstein with us from Credit Suisse. Michael, I've been dying all weekend to talk to you about JCPenney. Is this foolish, or is a cash burn going to kill him?
Well, the cash burn isn't going to kill them. I mean, the issue is the P&L, honestly. They cannot continue to lose sales at the pace they are because your gross margin dollars of profit contract, both because of the gross sales reduction and the markdowns that you're taking because you're missing your sales plan. And that's really the issue in front of them right now, is they've got to stabilize sales.
Well, the question is, are the sales failing because the strategy is flawed, or because they don't have enough money to roll it out quickly enough across the country?
Well, I don't think it's either, honestly. I think it was sort of naivete that somehow they'd come up with this strategy and that the customer would sit there and wait and continue to buy while the strategy was rolled out over a 2 or 3 year period. And that was clearly the wrong decision. They didn't have any plan to bridge volume between what Penny was and what they wanted to be in 3 years.
Do you see within their conference call or within your channel checks that they've gotten religion and they're going to amend this strategy, or are they full force ahead?
Well, they're tweaking things constantly right now. We noticed this morning on their website they started to use the word sale in pricing. That was something he said was the antithesis of what he wanted to do. They're tweaking things really consistently. The problem is, the stores still have too much clearance. The problem is, the customer is very confused, and the problem is their competitors are not giving them any leeway.
Well, yeah, and also the logo's ugly. I mean, I don't, who am I, the art director? But when I go to their website, which I just did, folks, it has nothing to do with a resonance of that name. That
yeah, I
know.
I think it's a little odd that they chose their stock symbol as their new logo.
I'm looking at it, and it looks like a tech web. It looks like something out of TechCrunch,
well,
frankly.
I mean, that clearly is his background, and he's enamored with technology and thinks it can be deployed. But, I think one of the problems here is that you're dealing with theory versus reality. And, you talk to the Walmart folks, they've played around with RFID for a decade, and they still can't really get it to the front end to work right.
Yeah, I mean, Michael McKee, Kohl's, expect great things. Yes, pass. Everyone gets an extra 25% off.
Right.
When you spend 100 or more, promo code, more gifts, 25. Extra 15% off. Extra gifts, sale, bonus, buy, dream deals.
Correct.
And then when I go to JCPenney, it's like this red touchy-feely screen of tech nirvana. I don't get it.
Yeah, I'm just going to ask, can retailers get past, as Penny wants to do, get past this whole idea of constant, at least telling people they're getting a sale price?
Well, I mean, the issue is how to get people through the front door or through the website. And the general consensus is there are two ways. Either what you do is you create a sense of urgency. You do one of two things, limited quantities or limited time. And that's why you see this relentless push on sales. You know, you don't want to, as a consumer, want to miss the sale because you're afraid it might not be there the next time. It usually is, but you don't want to miss it.
Well, fascinating story in the New York Times over the weekend. They tracked websites, and they show how often prices change. And they also showed that a lot of the things that you buy that are theoretically on sale now, you can get cheaper earlier in the year. They mark the prices way up. As more people become aware of this, do retailers risk a backlash?
You have to be very sophisticated to track it on your own, quite honestly. And the other thing is that you're seeing the cadence in which markdowns are taken. It's being done by size and color. It's being done by location. So you can go to one store in a mall and drive 20 miles away and have different pricing on clearance in that
Interesting.
Mall.
Interesting. Michael Eckstein, Dana Telsey was on the other day. She was enthused about lessons learned and everybody running leaner. Do you agree that
Completely.
The stores are smarter?
Listen, there are two parts of retail. There's the demand side, you know, do we think people are coming through the door? And there's what retailers are doing to help themselves. Right now, both seem to be in really good shape. The demand seems to be reasonable, and the inventories have not grown dramatically in the system. There are one or two cases where that's not the case, but by and large, the inventories are under a lot of control, and that means you know, your markdown liabilities are much lower. And it's always markdowns that kill you.
I want you to come back. Single best buy right now.
We continue to think Macy's is a great buy right now.
As we do, Michael Eckstein with Credit Suisse. Michael, I just did a, it's called a Bloomberg spread, folks, the difference between Macy's and JCPenney. It is way out the standard deviation skew. Macy's doing better than good, and JCPenney's, as we talked earlier, just struggling. Michael, what does Macy's get right?
Well, there are a couple things. They've some of the stuff in control and some of them not. In their control, clearly, they've set up a good organization structure. They have focused on a value message that resonates with the consumer that they're targeting, which is middle America. And they are actually in a sweet spot right now in this category of merchandise we talked about before called FAB, which is short for footwear, accessories, and beauty. Macy's has a high exposure to that area, and they are riding that business very, very strongly. They just, for instance, opened the largest shoe floor in the world at Herald Square. And they're doing very well in the cosmetics business, and they're doing very well in the accessories business.
Now, they are also...
Excuse me, Michael, can I translate that for you? Accessories are handbags.
Oh, I wouldn't know. And bow ties.
Yes, bow ties as well.
And fashion watches and scarves. There are a lot of different things. But right now, the business is really about handbags.
Oh, really?
One of the things that Macy's has done, as I understand it, is, you know, they bought a whole bunch of stores when they were federated, including Macy's, and started changing the names. People were upset. And now they've sort of gone back to original product mixes in different regions. And, right. and that is helping.
Yeah, I was a buyer many, many years ago at Macy's, and we had a tradition where every Friday we had to go to the stores and see what we had in the store, actually, and what the competitors had in the store. And really, this is sort of an antecedent of that. They put an organization together that allows them to see what the competitors are doing, what the consumers want, and they're narrowing the assortments to what's more appropriate to the store. And the truth is, 85 or 90% of what we'll sell at a Macy's is going to be common across the country. It's that 10 to 15%.
Interesting.
That really makes a difference in terms of people being connected to the store.
Does a designer want to be with Saks or do they want to be with Macy's? Is there a, you know, I'm bringing out a new clothesline. Is there a desire there to be with certain stores or is it just, I'll take any store I can get?
You know, it really depends. It depends on the product, quite honestly. And you have a lot of sub-brands now that permeate the business. So, you know, if it's Chanel is going to be very narrowly distributed, very few doors, very few. Even Nordstrom can only get Chanel in a couple of doors. But if you're Coach, you want a very focused but broad distribution, and the department stores allow you to do that.
Are people shopping at department stores? I'm looking at notes here on the sales contribution by month, right. And it looks like you're seeing sort of the discount stores and mass merchandisers doing a little bit better than department stores. And department stores have suffered in recent years because they seem to not have an identity, I guess, compared with some of the specialty stores.
I think that's true. I mean, the other thing is specialty stores spent decades opening up incremental units against department stores. And up until 08, you know, every year, you know, if you're Terry London, you woke up and knew 2 or 3 or 4% more square footage was deployed against you. That's stopped completely now. The specialty guys are not opening up any in the net basis any more square footage. So it makes life a lot easier for the department stores, and the department stores are focusing on what they do better, which is these three categories, footwear, accessories, and beauty.
It's really just devolved down to that. That's interesting. Interesting. Michael, you mentioned Macy's as your single best buy. What a courageous investment scheme. I mean, give a scope and scale. If Terry Lundgren's talking $400 million over X amount of years to redo their flagship store, what does that mean to you as a former employee of the company?
Well, it's there are a lot of areas in that store that were exactly the same as when I worked there over 30 years ago. So it's probably long overdue for a redo and an upgrade. The other thing they're doing, by the way, as part of that incredible sum of money, is capturing another 100 to 110,000 square feet, which will be new selling square footage.
What? I'm dying to ask this. Have you been like to the back parts of that store?
In the old days.
Yeah, that have been like shut down for 100 years?
Sure.
There must be some cubby holes. Tell us about one cubby hole at the Macy's store.
Well, I mean, again, this was a very long period, a very long time ago, but there were places that were just, you know, you could see the brick wall and there was nothing there. They just used them as storage areas. I mean, this is a huge building. I think it's 2 million square feet. Less than a million were selling. And you had all sorts of crazy things in there. You had some areas that still had direct current, for instance.
Wow.
You know, it's an amalgamation of several buildings. They know it better than I do. I've been decades since I've been there. And, you know, there are legendary things like they have the kennel at the top of the building for the dogs every night that roam the store to make sure no one sleeps in the store overnight and steals stuff. And there are lots of things like that.
It's where they keep Santa Claus.
Yeah, that too.
Very good. Michael Eckstein, thank you so much. Thrilled to have you on. I have to get you on again. He is with Credit Suisse, his single best buy. Macy's also, you heard earlier, his sharp comments on JCPenney.
Listen to Bloomberg Surveillance weekday mornings at 7 Eastern on Bloomberg 1130 in New York or on Sirius and XM Satellite Radio Channel 113. Copyright 2012.